Welcome to another episode of Comedy Wham Presents with me, your host Valerie, coming to you from the 2024 Moon Tower Comedy Festival. My sometime co-hosts, Ms. Purrington and Mookie, are resting at home. ComedyWham.com is your place to go for features about all Austin comedy. In addition to podcasts, we bring you articles, album reviews, our advice column, a festivals page, and if you're interested, an FPIA page with a history of the contest. And you can find all of my Austin Chronicle articles on the website as well. And you'll find all of the best comedy shows on our events page for Austin, Houston, and DFW. If you're a comic in those cities and want your show featured on the calendar, click Submit a Show at the top of our homepage to complete the short survey. Tag us on your Instagram stories and we'll share your show promo. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Comedy Wham. Looking for ways to support all these resources we provide? You can donate to Comedy Wham on PayPal, Venmo, or even Patreon. Search for Comedy Wham on Patreon and check out our subscriber perks. And we're also offering promo boosts for your listed events on Instagram. Now let's get back to our podcast. Launched in 2016, the podcast project brings you funny people and their stories. As a fan, I like to delve into a comic's background and motivations, and we usually take a detour along the way. Consider the interview a way for you to get to know the folks that make the comedy scene as fascinating offstage as it is onstage. If you like this podcast, please rate and review us.
I didn't go to the moment. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, there we go. That's the introduction we needed. And look, my printer, it's terrible. I should buy a new printer.
Speaking of printers...
The printer update.
That printer has been honestly one of the best printers I've ever had in my entire life.
It's like a recurring.
We keep buying the cartridge replacements for it.
Yeah.
But it lasts like for 3 to 6 months at a time, I print like a lot of stuff.
That's incredible. Yeah. I love this update. even if you were lying to me, I'd be like, I love it. It's just
no,
great.
It's great. It's awesome.
All right. Well, today we are recording live on location at the Driscoll Hotel. My print ink is dying, so I can't see all of my items. But you know, he's got a hip podcast with the Scissor Brothers with Stevie Weeby. We're gonna be asking about Jeremiah Wenders. His stand up on the spot has just been blowing up big time over the last year and a half, 2 years. He's got two specials out, and he just launched a new YouTube show called Trailer Tales with the great YouTube sensation Chelsea Lynn and Libby Higgins. And these are not their character names, though. You have to watch to find out. And we're just continuing our annual tradition here of checking in. It's become the Chronicles of Jeremiah Watkins. And there you go. This is Comedy Wham Presents Jeremiah Watkins. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Great to see you, Valerie.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're just going to get into this because I miss my Jeremiah Wenders.
Yes.
You have been pulled in all of these incredible directions.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel disconnected. Because
yeah.
Scissor Brothers is very much a relationship show and challenge show.
Uh-huh.
Trailer Tales is not Jeremiah Watkins.
That's
or Chelsea Lynn or
100%
Libby.
Character.
Yeah, it's 100% character. So I feel, and I listen to Jeremiah Wenders religiously.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I missed the announcement, but hey, I'm backing up. I know you made switches to the shorter like clips,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, all right, I'm stuck at four, I refresh,
yeah,
it's four, you're just too damn busy now.
Yeah, I've been having to shift some things around. Yeah, Scissor Bros ended at the beginning of the year.
Oh, and that's okay, see, when, I missed that memo.
Yeah, well, we transitioned the channel over to Trailer Tales,
uh-huh.
So that's where that energy and attention was going. It was from Scissor Bros to Trailer Tales. And then we have been doing so many stand-up on the spots, and that requires a lot of love and attention on that for where I want the quality to be. Because I want, you know, I want to sell that to a network eventually. So right now we're doing it as proof of concept. Like, hey, this can be a real show.
Yeah.
Like, not that it's not a real show, but you know what I mean? Like, where there's like a budget where I get to really, really pay the comics what I think that they deserve for being a part of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even though it's, you know, it's structured like a podcast, so like friends do each other's podcasts, some of that, but it would be pretty cool to be able to hook up with friends. That's the goal, you know, be able to work with friends and hook them up. Yeah. And
It's amazing. I look at the stand up on the spot and the guests just keep, it's like leveling up all the time, and you're touring it, taking it to different cities.
Yeah, we're doing it here at Moon Tower again. I'm always grateful that they have us back to do it. The last few years we've been shooting it, and we're just in Nashville doing the Nashville Comedy Festival, and we got some other ones lined up later in the year, and it's cool.
And all the while juggling being a dad of two very young boys.
Yes.
And how do you feel with your balancing act?
I'm doing a pretty good job at the moment. I'm doing a pretty good job. I miss them right now, but it's we just had a birthday party for my three-year-old, and we had a Batman-themed party, and we had a bouncy house that we rented for the day, and it was awesome. So the balancing act is hard, but I enjoy the challenge, and it makes my time at home very valuable when I am home.
Are you I know this is the perpetual struggle for you. Are you able to like put the phone away, and are you getting better?
I've at dinner I literally have started putting my phone in a different room, because it was just becoming, you know, too distracting, and also like becomes disrespectful to my wife and the boys at a point where it's like, you know, you got to separate yourself from work, even if it's in little fragments of time. So dinner time has become a tradition where we all sit down, even if it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be any kind of fancy dinner. We can literally be peanut butter and jellies, but it's the idea behind sitting down as a family and just like turning off and checking in with everybody. And that's become a very favorite part of my day, honestly. Like, I can be working all day doing random stuff, but dinner time I'm like, okay, this is awesome.
And as they get older, I mean, you're getting the little taste of it now, but as they get older, you're gonna really love that time, that dinner time together, and you're it's gonna be like no big deal for you to put the phone away somewhere else, because they're gonna become cool little people.
I know.
I mean, your three-year-old must be a cool little person.
He's
now.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh my goodness, he's already talking so much, and then the little guy behind him, he's starting to say "Dada" and "Mama" now, and trying to say different words. Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see the growth happen right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I'm on the tail end of that.
Yeah,
I've got, you know, well, on two fronts. He's about to graduate, but also, because we had a rule also that no phones at the table, but now he's a teenager, he's got a job, he's got a girlfriend, it's the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And now it's like, phone. I'm like, put it away.
Yeah. I think it's a good rule of thumb. I mean, even, I don't know, we're so on our phones all the time, and we have to be for work a lot of times, but there's, you can find, even the busiest people can find ways to separate themselves and detach.
Yeah.
It does help me reset, because sometimes I have to go back to work later in the night after the boys go down. Like, I have to go do sets or whatever, so I end up being on my phone later in the night anyway. So I'm like, I can easily do that.
So I apologize. I did not know that Scissor Brothers wrapped up. So I would imagine, and also you take on different projects and put focuses on different projects throughout your career.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that podcast. I don't know why I keep calling it a podcast. To me, it was a YouTube series. But it was a lot of energy putting into that.
Oh, my goodness.
The challenges really was.
Honestly, mentally, I definitely took a load off of myself when the show did end, because I didn't even realize how much effort and how much just mental space I was taking up. Even just the stress of, like, going in, I think Steve can agree with this too, is we didn't know if we were going to end up having to eat something gross or hurt ourselves a little bit. So that, like, kind of like go that in the back of your mind before you even record an episode takes up kind of like some anxiety in your head, like, oh, is this going to be a hard episode to record today? And so I think I think that the show wrapped up kind of when it needed to. It was, you know, Steve and I talked about it, and he was kind of saying that he needed a break, like, for his mental health, and I was like, I get it, dude. I don't want this to be something that's not fun.
Yeah.
And ended when it needed to.
Yeah.
And I've been having a blast recording the new Trailer Tales series with Chelsea Lynn and Libby Higgins. They're so funny, and they're great to work with, and we have great chemistry together, so it's been a blast.
Are they both in L.A. now?
No, I fly to Nashville.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I fly to Nashville to record episodes there, and when they come to L.A., they record with me here.
Oh, so you're able to bank a whole bunch.
Yeah, we shoot it kind of like a season of TV. Like, I was in Nashville earlier in the week, and we recorded 9 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So my, I think, honestly, I knew Libby Higgins before I ever knew you.
Mm.
My boyfriend, Steven.
Yep.
He put me on to Carla.
Oh, great.
And we became obsessed with Carla.
Yeah.
I even bought cameos from Libby as Carla for him.
Wow.
So that's how long I've been a fan of Libby's.
I am such a huge fan of Chelsea and Libby's. I just think that they are so talented and so funny. And they're just... they're so down to earth and nice. It's like incredible to me. Anytime I go to Nashville to shoot, their hospitality is so overwhelming. Like, how they make it as easy as possible because, you know, it's an ordeal to get them to come out to LA or me to go to Nashville. Mm-hmm. So we try to accommodate accordingly. Like, when they come out my way or I come out their way, it's just And Libby is such a brilliant improviser. She really is.
Yeah.
They just both did a stand up on the spot in character at Zany's on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm very excited for people to see that.
It
turned out it was a wild show, and there's a lot of their fans there, and a lot of Trailer Tales fans there too, which was cool to see for the first time really like that. And I did Dave Gunther on stage with them for stand up on the spot, and it was super cool. It was super cool.
Awesome. My gosh. Wow. Okay, so that's good that you had that project, and it's great to hear that it's not stressful. They make it easy on you, because that helps balance all the other responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
What else is new since last year?
Just, you know, I mean, that's the stand up on the spot and just trying to get my next hour to a place where I am ready to shoot that. I actually feel pretty close, actually, on this next hour. Yeah. And I think what I'm going to do, the idea behind the next hour, is I release so much content that showcases me riffing and improvising and stuff. I think I'm going to force myself to do an hour that is very, very material and not riffy. More of a traditional, which would be not traditional.
Yeah.
You've seen me so many times.
Yeah.
It's very loose in and out of material with the crowd and very in the moment with that. But I think that I need to showcase that other side of what I can do, because a big part of what I do is also the writing, but sometimes it gets a little overshadowed with some of the silliness and me throwing out the script and just deciding to abandon and just go for whatever's happening in the room.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what I'm leaning towards is kind of my next thing that we're going to be working on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, I saw you at the 88 show, Avery's show, the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've seen a small evolution of your dinosaur bit, because you've been working on a version of that for at least a few years.
Different. And I've been trying to find the right vehicle for my dinosaur impressions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finally found one that I love and that has been getting a unanimous positive response, whatever market I do it in.
Yeah.
And so you saw the finished, polished version from all the different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very fun to see that. And I wish Travis had been with me. Because, there's history there. He saw you at San Antonio.
Of course.
The last show we ever saw before COVID.
Yep.
And, hopefully he'll get to see you at some point. So he is looking at a school that's in Indiana. They do not have a comedy scene in the town there. Yeah. And I'm like, damn it.
I've done some stuff in Fort Wayne. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a festival out there called the Mommy, Mary, and Joseph Festival. That's a fun fest.
Yeah.
Out that way. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I think there's something in Indianapolis, too. Because on our website, we also list festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are some that are in Indiana. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to drag him somewhere else to go see.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to make a joke here, because there is one other thing that seems that has changed since last year. Your haircut. I change it every year.
I keep changing it over and over. I think I'm finally going to be settled on this style for a bit, but we'll see. I don't know. Because I literally, the headshot that they used for Moon Tower was from last year, and I'm like, I'm already not sporting that same style. But I think this is the style for a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I'm always open to, if I get a part or something, growing it back out or whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing is you have headshots that you could say, look, this is me in all the various lengths.
Exactly. This is every version of me possible.
Yeah, you don't even have to do Photoshop. They are real photos.
Proof of concept. Here you go.
Exactly. I call this current hairstyle this is TV ready hairstyle.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
hey,
that's a thing that you're.
Sure.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Do you keep? Do you still try for different TV movie stuff?
Yeah. Still auditioning. I've been auditioning for a ton of voice stuff.
Yeah.
Really love my voiceover agent, and she's been sending me out on a lot of stuff that some really, like, as far as like, I'm very much a superhero and comic book and that kind of a nerd in that regard, where I'm a big fan of that, and I've auditioned for some really cool roles that didn't book, but I'm excited to be in the running for at least being able to audition for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Some new different characters in the DC universe and stuff like that, that I just need to, land one of those.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you got the Joker, so that's nice.
I know.
Spin in your
hat. That's the thing. So I'd love to add to that collection. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Random question about stand up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Ever thought about taking it overseas?
I think it would do pretty well over there, to be honest. I haven't put too much thought into it at the moment. I've just been focused so much on building it up here in the States, but I think that's something in the future that would definitely benefit the show, and honestly could open up a whole bunch of new eyeballs to it if it caught on there. So it's definitely something to think about. I would love to do. Years ago, we did a very, very short UK run with Kill Tony, and it's still some of my favorite road trips I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, so much fun getting to do it, and the people over there were so appreciative and so enthusiastic for American comedy to come over there, that it's something that I definitely, it's a goal of mine to go back over there just with myself and do it for headlining with my stand-up or with stand-up on the spot. So I'm definitely hoping to do a UK tour eventually, and like the Australian leg of a tour.
It'd
be amazing. So that's definitely goals for the future.
Very cool. When you think back to our first or even second conversation, do you marvel at the progress, and do you think you work harder now than you were working then?
Yeah, I think I'm working just as hard, but definitely, as we've talked about, I'm definitely working smarter with the way that I work. I definitely am working just as hard. I don't know if I'm necessarily working harder, but it's definitely the same amount of hours that I'm putting in. So I can't, I think that there's some ways, because I've figured out ways to divvy up some of the workload and stuff like that. And I'm at a place now where I had to get get to a place where I hired an editor to help me edit my own things. I was editing of my own, and I was losing my mind. I was literally starting to like be like, I don't like days and nights are blurring together, and it was getting bad. So luckily we stand up on the spot, and some of my other, like a lot of my clips, I work with an editor that comes in with me, and we edit every day together. So that's part of my full-time thing during the day before I go out at night to do stand-up.
Yeah.
Is really trying to work on that aspect of expanding on the social side and getting more awareness on stand-up on the spot and trailer tales and my own stand-up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if I'm necessarily working harder, but I'm working just as hard, but like smarter definitely over the years.
Yeah. And that's where I was going to make my editorial comment that.
Yeah.
You know, it's still the same. It's obviously always 24 hours a day for everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the point where you realize I need to put my energy into this or that, like,
for sure.
You've just gotten even sharper about where am I going to spend my energies, and realizing that, you know, by giving yourself that free time, the free time to stop being the only one that does the editing, that frees you up in other areas. And it's paying off. I mean, you're on that cusp, in my opinion. I watched Brad Williams last night headline at the Paramount.
Yeah.
And we both have, you know him certainly far more than I do, being both in LA, but, you know, Moon Tower perspective, club showcases, that's where he would, you know, bounce around.
Of course.
And then he started, you know, TV commercial appearances, and now headlining Paramount. It's like, you're on that track.
Brad is one of those guys who is very inspiring to me as a comic and as a person and as a dad, you know, because he is somebody who has had a very... He's just had to do the grunt work and the legwork, and he's so funny, and he kills every single time I've ever seen him go up. He's one of those guys who you don't want to follow at the comedy store, and that's a compliment to him, because he's a very hard person to follow. And I watch him, and I aspire to be like him with my career and as a person, because he's just one of those guys where he's figured out his balance that works for him, and his career has really been paying off just from repeatedly, consistently showing up and being funny and doing the work. And he's
being a nice guy.
I know, one of the nicest guys literally in anywhere, like within comedy. He's always been super good to me before I had anything going on, and still, I mean, he literally, we had somebody back out on Stand Up on the Spot tonight, and I was able to text him, and he's like, I got you, I'll fill in. Like, he's that kind of guy.
Wow. And that's incredible. After, I mean, anybody that's going to be, that saw him last night, and that's chosen your show to go see, they're going to just be like over the moon.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. Oh God, now I'm going to have to juggle my my plan.
I know. The show tonight is a good one. It's exciting. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Is there anything else that we want to cover? I think we're 22, and I know you're racing over there.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I do want to make the comment about Stand Up on the Spot. I joked with you, because we're trying to find the right time to fit this in, and you said, "Oh, I got a prep work," and I'm like, "Well, I remember all the prep work you had to do for the Scissor Bros when I came here."
Right.
But I'm like, "Wait, it's all a riffing show. What do you have to prep for?"
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, that's a big part of you know, another thing that we're talking about, goals and future things. Like, I direct all these stand-up on spots, and I take a lot of time with my DP, my director of photography, Christopher McMillan. He is a very, very talented guy. We go always in together to these different venues, and we scout different angles and what we want, and then I'm still at a place right now where I'm setting up all the audio while he's setting up a video, and then we're cross-checking each other's work, and that we're kind of a two-man unit, and when we're in L.A., we have like a full crew of people, like Rick Kosick, which I'm super grateful. He's been a part of the LA team for a while. He shot all the Jackass movies and stuff, and he was part of Big Brother magazine, and he's like a legend in that community. So the fact that he's one of my buddies that is down to help out with Stand Up On Spot, it's awesome. And then we got some other talented people in the crew there. But on the road, it's a little bit of a bare bones two-man team at the moment, where eventually, you know, we want to keep adding bodies to that. But yeah, we got there early, and we set up for a couple hours earlier today, all the cameras and all the mics and the audience mics and everything, to get the show ready. And so we can just roll into it later tonight, because we have a few shows before us, so we don't have time to prep right before and set it up. Yeah.
Well, it pays off. All the clips and the whole, like, when you post the entire episode, it looks great.
Yeah.
And as a watcher, you don't even think about, you got to have all the multiple angles. Otherwise, it's a boring thing to watch.
Of course. It really, well, it just becomes something that just, like, that's where, I think that's what kind of separates the difference between a podcast and, like, a production.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You feel like you're watching a show.
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow, how exciting. I can't wait till next year already, because I'm like, every year there's always something really new and exciting and more growth. And,
yeah. Oh, for Jeremiah Wonders. Well, let's touch on that real briefly.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah Wonders, I love doing, obviously, I've loved doing that for years, but that has been, I've treated that as my incubator for all of my other projects.
Yeah.
Stand Up On The Spot started on the Jeremiah Wonders, like that feed. Scissor Bros started on the Jeremiah Wonders feed. Trailer Tales also started on that Jeremiah Wonders feed.
Yeah.
So definitely not saying goodbye forever to Jeremiah Wonders, but for the time being, I just have to focus on other stuff, the stuff that is working. And some of the episodes of Jeremiah Wonders, because it's so hard, when I'm promoting all the stuff, that was the stepchild that kept getting kind of neglected on the numbers and the views.
Yeah.
So because it wasn't yielding the results, I was like, I got to cut this out for now. But I'm leaving it open to, you know, when I have certain friends on, you know, I want to do more Dr. Phil's in the studio again, because that's where we get to add the special effects and all the music and all the like the different moments, because that's kind of how... That's how it started out before we started doing the Dr. Phil Lives at the Comedy Store and stuff like that, or those original episodes.
I mean, it really has been an incubator for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even the Dr. Phil Lives. Yeah. Like, it's pretty amazing, and that's all just been in the studio in my garage, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to guilt you or push you, not that you're going to, you know, do anything according to what I have to say, but you're doing these incredible things, and sometimes you have to say goodbye to stuff.
I know. Yeah. So that is definitely, you know, I don't have a plan necessary to even return at a specific time, but I've actually been doing Jeremiah Wonders on my Patreon, so if people want that aspect of, like, more with check-ins of what's going on with me during the week, since I'm doing so much character work and random stuff. So.
Okay, well, I didn't even know that, so I feel like a bad fan for not
knowing
about
Patreon. No, I need to actually, and here's another thing, I need to actually promote my Patreon, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, that's another thing that's getting neglected.
Yeah.
I need to, like, let people know that that's even a thing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, is there, let's see, yes, every year we've revisited the future word.
Yeah.
So, do you in this moment have one word to describe your future?
Do you have any of the words from the previous years?
Well,
I would love to hear where. I'd love to hear.
I cannot read the very first time, but we've gone tumultuous in 2019.
Yep.
Another word I can't read for 21, and then we went solidified in 22, and last year was malleable.
This is always a part of the podcast where I have to really ponder and think of the word choice, the one word to describe what I'm hoping my future to be. I think I'm going to say poised.
And they are so predictive. This is a good one for you. Because you are. You're headlining venues.
The reason why I like this word specifically is... And you know me, like the way that you've seen and the way you've been tracking what I've been doing over the years, like with all these check-ins, is those first interviews that we did, it's trying to do 1,000 things. And I became known as that guy, which was great, like to get me to the next steps of where I want to go for years. But I think that there needs to be I'm trying to become more and more focused and direct with the things that I want to be happening. And I think poised is something that when you think of somebody who has poise or is a poised person, you're like, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly where they're headed, what they want.
Yeah.
And it's somebody who you can feel comfortable around. And I think that that is something, as far as like the industry, you want people to feel like I'm in good hands. So that's the difference between an open micer and a headliner. When you watch a show and you watch the host, who is typically one of the newer people in the show, then you watch the feature, then you watch the headliner. The host, sometimes the audience is nervous for the host because they can tell that the host is nervous. And then they calm down a little bit more when the feature comes out. They're like, okay, this person kind of knows what they're doing. They're pretty funny. And then the headliner, a good headliner, when they take the stage, within seconds, you're like, I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
And that's not just, I'm not just speaking comedically. I want my family to feel that way too. My friends, that they're in good hands. Yeah. So that's what I want for the future of this upcoming year. So
I'm excited. I thank you for having me along for the ride.
Of course, I appreciate you wanting to document the ride.
Yeah, one day when you're, you know, super famous, plastered all over movies and TVs, are gonna come to this archival of these conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, that is a wrap on Comedy Wham Presents, our incredible 7th time checking in with Jeremiah Watkins. Tell us where we can find you on social media. Be sure to promote that Patreon that I didn't even know about that I'm going to join.
Sure. Patreon.com/Jeremiah Watkins. You can catch all my tour dates at jeremiahwatkins.com. YouTube.com/@StandUpOTS. New episodes every other Monday on that channel. And then every Friday at YouTube.com/@TrailerTalesPod is the Trailer Tales Podcast. That's with Chelsea Lynn, Libby Higgins, and myself. And at Jeremiah Standup on all social media for all those fun social clips and all that sweet goodness.
Yeah, and it's all good. It's a variety pack of stuff that Jeremiah does. So you're never going to get bored. It's impossible. Well, we hope you've enjoyed learning and continuing to follow along with Jeremiah as he continues his trek as a comedic genius that you heard today just as much as I have. This has been Comedy Wham Presents Jeremiah Watkins. I'm Valerie, and that's been funny. Thank you, Jeremiah, and thank you to the printer updates.
I know, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.